You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
And God is so good. Amen. He's so gracious. Thank you, brother. Wow. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one in front of you. We're also going to have the text on the screen. The other night, I went to let my dog outside to go to the bathroom, and as soon as I opened the door, that rascal darted and started barking. That's perfect right there, my friend. He was chasing something out there, man. So I went outside with my tactical flashlight. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And he's like standing over he wasn't standing. That'd be incredibly creepy. But, you know, he was hovering over a possum, right? And he's looking all proud, like he did something. He's like, yeah, what's up? Yeah, I scared you to death. I looked at the possum. I'm like, man, this could be like one of those old Yeller type of things, right? I was like, did he bite you? Are you going to have rabies? I don't want to have to put you down. I said, get out of there, Murphy. Get out of there. So we go back to put the dog back inside, and I notice my garden boxes are shredded. I'm like, my strawberries are gone. My tomato plants are torn to bits. My jalapenos are chopped. I was like, I look back at that possum. I'm like, you did this, you evil thing. You did this. And he just looked at me, and he's like, I said, Murphy, finish him. Went back inside and I told my wife, I said, babe, don't expect any organic strawberries. She said, why? I said, the plants are dead. The plants are dead. And we all know that dead plants don't produce delicious fruit, do they? And so it is with faith. There is a type of faith that is alive. It works. It really works. It can change your life. It can save your soul. And there is a type of faith that is dead. It can't do anything. It doesn't work. It's useless. The question for us today in the text that we're going to read is, what kind of faith do we have? What kind of faith do we have? Now, James, the author of James, was the brother of Jesus. Did y'all know that? It's a couple little fun facts here. The brother of Jesus, he was one of the pillars of the New Testament church, along with Peter and John. And his letter to the church is possibly the earliest writing in the New Testament. He's known as James the Just for his zeal for justice, his obedience to God's law, and his devotion to prayer. It was said that James's knees were so calloused from prayer that they resembled the knees of camels. Right? And they joked on him a little bit for it. The historian Josephus, who lived from A.D. 37 to A.D. 100, recorded that James was martyred in A.D. 62. Historians note that he was thrown off of the pinnacle of the temple. Now, why in the world, God bless you, he survived the fall, then they stoned him, and he didn't die still, so they clubbed him to death. And why would you kill James the Just? He's a just man, a good man. Everybody knew him as a just man. Well, here's what happened. The scribes, the Pharisees had enough of Christianity. They're like, man, we thought we killed their leader, but they keep growing. So they went to James the Just. They said, hey, look, it's Passover. Everyone's coming into town from all over. They're going to be around the temple. Here's what you're going to do, James the Just. They all listen to you. We're going to put you on the pinnacle of the temple, and you're going to publicly renounce your faith in Jesus. So they put him on the pinnacle. They all waited with bated breath, listening. They could all see him. And instead of renouncing his faith, he decided to preach. I was like, man, that kind of sounds like what Pastor John would do, right? Give me a stage and I'll give you a sermon. Try to stop me. He started preaching. The historian Eusebius says this, with a clear voice and with greater boldness than they had anticipated, he spoke out before the whole multitude and confessed that our Savior and Lord Jesus is the Son of God. But they were unable to bear longer the testimony of the man who, on account of the excellence of his ascetic virtue and of piety, which he exhibited in his life, was esteemed by all as the most just of men, and consequently, they slew him. And to all you millennials, that means they killed him. The last thing James was ever going to do was renounce his faith. I mean, he saw the resurrected Christ. He believed in Jesus. He knew that death was not the end. His faith, his trust that Jesus could do and would do exactly what he promised to do, that was save his soul and resurrect his body, was unshakable. To James, his faith was the most valuable thing that he possessed. I mean, the Apostle Paul exclaimed, "By grace you have been saved through faith." The Apostle Peter says, "Your faith is more precious than gold." How much gold, Johnny? Well, I think all of the gold in the entire world, because you can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. Jesus himself said, "Faith as small as a mustard seed is mountain-moving faith." Amen? Amen. James had the type of faith that really worked. It made him fearless in the face of death. It gave him peace and calm in the chaos of the crowd. Boldness to proclaim the name of Christ, even though it cost him everything. His faith was working. He didn't just talk the talk, right? He walked the walk. Is your faith working like that? Is your faith working in your marriage? Is your faith working at your workplace? Or are you still hiding your light under a bushel? Before he was martyred, James wrote this letter to the church. He opens it by saying, "Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." He closes out his letter by talking about the power of the prayer of faith. Now, smack dab in the middle, we find faith without works is dead. So let's read our passage together. James chapter 2. Verse 14. "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'Well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out, out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together once more. Father in heaven, you are glorious. You are good. You are love. And you are with us right now. You know every one of our needs. And you say you can provide. I pray right now that you would move through your Holy Spirit. Move through your word, God. Use me, a messenger, weak and feeble and foolish, but you are good and you are wise. We need to see you, Jesus. Do your work in your name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. What we do reveals who we are. What we do reveals who we are. John MacArthur, in his commentary, said this: The genuineness of a profession of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is evidenced more by what a person does than by what he claims. Look at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? James is writing this to church people. He wrote this to the church, to you. He's saying, hey, you say you have faith? Have you made a profession? Have you said the sinner's prayer? Do you call yourself a Christian? Prove that your faith is genuine. Because it is possible to have a faith of mere words and not have a faith that actually works. Just because someone professes saving faith does not mean they actually possess saving faith. According to one study, 64% of Americans identify as Christian, yet only 35% of them accept that salvation comes through the sacrifice of Jesus. I mean, right there, that's almost half of professing American Christians not really Christians. Just because you claim to have something doesn't mean it's actually yours. Amen? There are a lot of nice cars in this parking lot. If I went up to your car, I laid my hands on it, I said, by faith, I believe this is mine. I name it and claim it. Would you give me the keys? No. She said, you said that real loud. She said, no. No, you wouldn't, because it ain't mine, it's yours. Your name is on the title, not mine. We just had a wedding here yesterday. Erica and Taylor. You've seen Erica sing up here and play guitar many times, and it was a beautiful wedding. And yesterday they got married. But let's just pretend. Okay, now this did not happen. Don't you dare go to them and tell them. Let's just pretend for the sake of a sermon illustration. Let's pretend that, let's say, 6 months ago, they're walking through the church halls, holding hands, gazing into each other's eyes as lovebirds do, saying, I'm so happy I married you. Aren't we a wonderful married couple? And they tell all of you, yes, we're enjoying marriage together. Would that make them married? No. You ain't married until you put a ring on it, right? I really didn't mean for that. But here's the thing. Some of y'all are walking through the church halls with a smile on your face, saying, man, it feels good to be in the family of God. It feels so good to be a part of the body of Christ. And Jesus would look at you and say, who are you? I don't know you. The reason why James writes this to the church is because there is a danger for those of us in the church to think we are his, but we're really lost. And Jesus affirms this danger when he says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. And I will say to them, I never knew you. Have you ever met someone who claimed to be a Christian and within like 30 seconds of talking to them, you're like, I don't think you're a Christian, bro. I don't think that word means what you think it means. Like, how did you know that? Could you see their heart? Could you see their invisible faith? No, but you could see their works. You could see their fruit. When I was a kid, 13 years old, back in Michigan, we took a youth trip to go snowboarding. And there was a new guy. That dude was so radical. Had the cool hair. Had the expensive Burton snowboard. I still had my Walmart plastic board. He's like, yeah, man, I'm a born-again Christian. I burned all my secular CDs. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Did you have any Weezer in there? I was like, yeah. Before that snowboard evening was over, homeboy tried to get with all the Christian girls in a way that he shouldn't be getting with. I'm trying to keep it PG. Started talking, cussing, talking about the joy of the world. I'm like, bro, you should have kept those CDs. You ain't saved. CDs are the last. So what are the works that show that we have true saving faith? I mean, how can we know we're not faking ourselves out? The first work that James introduces is love for brother and sister. Let's read it. Verse 15. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Notice the person had the church lingo down, didn't they? Hey, man, God is good all the time. God bless you. I'll pray for you. Hey, won't he do it? They had a faith of words, but not a faith that actually works. Take a second. Look around the room. Don't make it weird. This is your family. This is your spiritual family. You will be with each other forever. God placed you here on purpose. We are meant to grow old with each other. We are called to carry each other's burdens and to be patient with each other. When's the last time you helped a brother or sister in this room? Well, Johnny, I don't see anyone dressed in a trash bag. I don't see anyone starving from or dying from starvation. But are there not needs in this room? I mean, we do a great job. We do an incredible job outside of these walls, right? Meeting needs. But brothers and sisters, there are still needs in this room. And I want to say that needs are being met. My goodness, I have experienced many of you from words of encouragement, text messages, little cards, meals being provided when we had our daughter. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of y'all can cook. Good gracious. I was like, wow, can we have like 20 more kids? Just anyway. No, it's not worth it. The scripture says, love one another with brotherly affection. Then it goes on to say, outdo one another in showing honor. The scripture also says, I lost it. It says something. Oh, here it is. I'm going to make a note for this for next service. It's right here. It says, do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. Look at James 2, verse 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Now tell me, do you expect to see anything growing from this beautiful plant right there? Get a little close up. I mean, it's wrapped really nicely though, right? See this nice colors. It says, this is what we should be. But that's not what you are. Is this living or dead? It's dead. It's not a trick question. It's dead. Poor thing is dead as a doornail. Is this your faith? Is your faith producing results? Or is it not working at all? Dried up, crusty, dead. No love for your Christian brothers or sisters. No love for the Word of God. No obedience. Useless. Verse 14, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, faith is the hidden trust of the heart. I can't see your faith, but I can see your works. And what's the best way to know that you're really saved is to look at your works. That's what James is saying. Look at your works. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. Well, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Believing facts about God is not enough. Agreeing that God is real, affirming that Jesus rose from the dead, is not saving faith. The demons saw the resurrection happen. The demons know more theology and church history than anybody in this room. The demons believe and they are condemned. What makes your faith different than theirs? The difference is that demons hate God. Their works prove it, don't they? They traded eternity in heaven with God for a temporary rebellion, saying, I want to live my way, not your way. Are your works showing that you want to live God's way or your way? Just like the demons. Do you love God? Do you trust in Him? Do you acknowledge your way is best? Your word is true. Your plans are good. You see, Satan wants us to doubt God's goodness. He was able to convince Adam and Eve to momentarily throw away their faith in the goodness of God, and he simply whispered to them, did God really say, don't eat that fruit? Look at it. It looks so good. Did God really? Is God holding something back from you? Huh? He still does that today. The Bible says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody to devour. And maybe he came your way this week, whispering, is God really there? Does God really care for you? Maybe your way is better than his way. Oh, maybe that sin isn't really that big of a deal. God will forgive you. Satan wants to devour your faith. His goal is for us to renounce our faith in Christ, just like they tried to make James do. And rarely does the evil one try to devour our faith in one bite. He typically nibbles little by little. And so one day we realize, oh my gosh, I ain't got no more faith left. Is your faith being chipped away little by little? Are you starting to doubt God's goodness in your life? Are you giving in to a little bit of temptation? Are you giving the enemy just a little bit more territory in your life? Is someone or something seated on the throne of your heart where Christ used to be? Oh, just a little while longer. Just a little bit more. Job is an extreme picture of Satan trying to devour someone's faith. You remember that story? And we see Satan's tactics. He came wave after wave after wave for Job's faith. His possessions, his family, his health. But Job kept the faith that God was still good, man. He had questions. He questioned God, but he did not renounce his trust in God. And maybe you've taken a hit in your marriage, or in your health, or in your finances. And he's whispering, is God really there? Does God really care for you? Just look. Look at what he's allowed to happen in your life. Brothers and sisters, instead of losing faith, put your faith to work. Let your faith work for you. Believe that God's word has wisdom for your specific scenario. Believe that God will supply your need. Believe that God really is good. Now let's get practical with faith. You ready? You might need a pen and paper. I will encourage you to do this. This has actually helped me quite a bit in my life. There is an acronym called APTAT. You'll see it on the screen. APTAT. My point group has heard me say this thousands of times. You're probably sick and tired of it. Anyway, this is to remind you. Where's your pen at? Anyway. A stands for admit you can do nothing without God. When you wake up in the morning, admit you can do nothing. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. This might sound controversial, but it's incredibly biblical. What God really expects from you is failure. In your own strength, God knows you're going to fail. So admit you can do nothing apart from him. P stands for pray for help. Prayer is asking, amen? God has ordained that he works his power through the prayers of his people. Ask God for help. Lord, I can't do this. So I'm asking you, will you help me do it? And I'm trusting you. You will provide. That brings us to T. Trust a specific promise. Let's make up a scenario. Maybe you are struggling with anger in your marriage. seems like you guys are fighting more and more and more. And you're like, man, I know, I'm part of the problem. My fuse is short. My patience is gone. Here's what you do. You trust a specific promise. Look to the word of God. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. How can you know where to go in life if you're not in the word? The psalmist also said, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right, so you go to the word of God. You look back in the concordance and find anger, right? Let's find anger. Here's a couple verses for you. You will come across probably Psalm 86:15, which says, but you, O Lord, are a God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You say to yourself, Lord, this is who you are. You're slow to anger. Aren't you glad that God is slow to anger? Amen. Amen. You were made in the image of God. God's will for your life, I can assure you, is to be slow to anger. So you memorize this scripture. You hide this in your heart. And when you wake up in the morning, you start to just let the word of God work in you. Because you know you're going to be tested, right? Every day the enemy's coming after you. Every day you live in a body of flesh that wants to go towards the world. You know you're going to be tested. So equip yourself first thing in the morning. Here's another one. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. God wants his people slow to anger. Here's another weapon. You see, the sword of the Spirit is what? The word of God. It is your only offensive weapon. Some of y'all are just hunkering down with the shield of faith, but bro, God wants you fighting. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Some of y'all are not loving your spouse because your fuse is... You're not showing them the love of God. You're just putting up with them. God wants you to love your spouse. Oh, Johnny, we just don't love each other anymore. Really? God commands you to love your enemies. He certainly expects you to love your spouse that he joined you together with. See, memorize the word of God. Go to war. You're already in a war, right? You know that, right? We're not coasting. We're not in paradise yet. Go to war. And here we come to A. A stands for act. We walk by faith. We don't sit down and lay down by faith, do we? No, we walk by faith. Put your faith to work and watch God work in your life. God wants you to have an amazing marriage. He designed it. God wants you to be an incredible father that your kids can look up to and be like, that's my dad. He was slow to anger. He was patient. What must God be like? That's the point. And T stands for thank God for his provision and goodness. Won't he do it? He will. He will. God has not left us to ourselves. Aren't you glad? God isn't just up in heaven watching us. Let's see what they do. Oh, gosh, they failed again. Oh, forget them. No, he came down to help us. He gave us his spirit to walk with us. So here's a little bit of homework, and this is for your good, right? Where's one place you can put your faith to work this week? Think of one word. What do you struggle with most? Could be anger. I hear a lot of anger. Could be lust. Could be laziness. What's one word that pops in your mind? Go to your Bible, find 1, 2, 3 scriptures, and arm yourself to fight the good fight. God is for you. God wants to fight with you. Amen? All right. James chapter 2, verse 20. Here we go. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, the faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, if you've been a Christian for any time, that statement should kind of rattle you a little bit, right? Because one of the five solas of the Reformation was faith alone. The Apostle Paul himself said, we're not justified by works of the law, we're justified by faith alone. So is this a complete contradiction in the Word of God? No. You see, when Paul talks about justification, he's talking about our right standing with God. Guilty, unrighteous sinners cannot be with God. So we must be justified, declared innocent, declared righteous. So when Paul talks about justified by faith and the work of Christ alone, he's talking about God seeing us as righteous. When James talks about being justified by works and not by faith alone, he's saying your profession of faith, if you have true saving faith, will be justified, will be declared as true by your works. He's saying, man, you can't just get away with saying you believe and not do anything. That's what's happening here. So, you tell me this. Is this plant alive? It's beautiful, right? It's the one plant I haven't killed yet. How do you know this plant is alive? Flowers? Yeah, you can see it growing. Nice and green. Now, are the flowers giving life to the plant? Or is the plant giving life and blossoming the flowers? It's not a trick question. Some of you are like, I don't know what's coming. I'm not a biologist, Johnny. Well, the flowers are receiving their life source from the plant. So it is with your faith. If you have true saving faith, you cannot help but have works. It will flow out of you. Can you stumble? Yeah. Can you backslide? Of course. But you won't be this. God might prune you. Right? Might hurt a little bit. But you will bear fruit. The reformer Martin Luther said this. This is helpful. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. Is your faith working? Is it producing results in your life? You tell me this. What kind of faith do you have? Which one resembles your life? Let's do a little bit of real talk. There are two types of faith, and there are two types of works. Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And some of you are doing these things. And you call yourself a Christian. If you can continue in sin and ignore the warnings, if you can continue in your sin and ignore repenting, then my friend, I love you, but your faith is dead. You have the same faith demons do. Don't fool yourself any longer. But if you sin, if you fall, and God is convicting you, remember this, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance, amen? So get back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know I'm made from the dust. I believe in you. I believe that your way is best. I believe that you have eternal life. Forgive me, cleanse me, change my life. 1 Corinthians says, and that's what some of you were. That's what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Man, I love how James ends his argument that faith without works is dead. Remember, he just used Exhibit A, Abraham, right? To show, hey, this is what true saving faith looks like. Now look at who he uses next. I love this. Verse 25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Rahab, a prostitute. Abraham, a father, a leader of a nation. Rahab, a prostitute. Abraham, wealthy, respected. Rahab, broken, used. And what does James do? He takes the two. They both had living, saving faith. They both have an inheritance in heaven. Amen. Are you poor and lowly? Through Christ, you have an inheritance in heaven as well. Are you broken and used? You are royalty, a daughter, a son of God. And some of you need to stop beating yourselves up for your past. Jesus was already beaten for you. Some of you need to stop wishing you were dead. Jesus already died in your place to give you life. My friends, walk by faith. Put your faith to work. The scriptures say he knew you. He predestined you. He called you. He justified you. He glorified you and will bring you into glory one day. Put your faith to work and become who you already are. Forgiven, cherished, loved, a child of God. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are merciful and kind. Who else has the words of life but you? Who else can do what only you can do? Nobody. We can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength in our own. We don't have the goodness within ourselves. We look to you. Thank you for your love, God. You really do change lives. You really do save souls. You love us, God. You love us. I pray right now, God, for those who they got just a little bit of faith. I pray that you would strengthen their faith, help them to walk this day, believing that they are loved by you. They are completely forgiven. You don't look at their sin anymore. You look at the righteousness of Jesus. I pray you help them to produce works that will encourage them. They really are saved. They really are yours. They're not faking themselves out. I pray for the one who has dead faith. I pray that you will call their name. Stir their hearts to you. God, all who come to you, you will never cast out. The invitation is open, Lord. So call them right now. Your sheep, your lost sheep, God, call them. Save them. And I thank you for those in this room who have fruit-producing faith. They've been blessing, loving their brothers and sisters. Thank you for placing them in this church, God. And help us to be a church that loves you with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, and help us to love our neighbor. We love you. We thank you, God. Do your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 Pastor Tom.